الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم حين قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا عدوى ولا صفر ولا هامة. فقال أعرابي إلى آخر الحديث. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, young ones in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the verse of the Quran Sharif that was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, addressing the believers, that O believers, enter into Islam completely. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udkhulu fis silmi kaffa. O believers, enter into Islam completely. The Mufassirin write, and thereafter the verse goes on to say, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطْوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. And do not follow in the footsteps of shaitan. In other words, if we have not entered into Islam completely, if all aspects of our life are not according to the teachings of Islam, then we are following in the footsteps of shaitan. If all aspects of our life are not according to the teachings of Islam, then we are following in the footsteps of shaitan. And the ayat goes on to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Verily, shaitan is your clear enemy. Shaitan is your clear enemy. So if we have to analyze the teachings of Islam, the teachings of Islam cover every single aspect of our lives. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam has taught us, and if we open the books of hadith, the books of fiqh, the books of tafsir, then the Quran Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the jurists have laid down principles for us to follow in every aspect of our life. And after analysis, the ulama have mentioned that there are five branches of our Islam. This Islam that we have, just as we have five pillars of Islam, our kalima, namaz, roza, hajj and zakat, like that we have five branches of our Islam, five branches. The first of these branches are our aqaid, our beliefs. Our aqaid, our beliefs. That we believe in Allah, that there is none worthy of worship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship. And we believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger. And we believe that the angels are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are given different duties. And we believe that all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are barhaq and true. And we believe that there is going to be a day of qiyamah when we are going to be answerable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in all these things. And it is a separate chapter of Islam, our beliefs. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sent at a time when the beliefs of the people were absolutely corrupt. They used to worship little stones. Kisi ko Lat kehte the, kisi ka naam Uzza tha. Someone was Uzza, someone was Lat, those little stones. And they would take them with them on journey. They would believe that the stone that was, the idol that was made from the stone of Makkah Sharif could only be worshipped. They believed that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came at such a time when he had to eradicate all these evil types of belief from society. Nevertheless, this is one aspect of our deen and shariat, one branch of Islam. The other branch of Islam was our ibadat. The other branch of Islam was our ibadat. Our namaz, our roza, our hajj, our zakat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us extensively, in no unambiguous manner, how to give our zakat, how to perform our salah, how many rakats are there, what are those things that will render our salat invalid, what are those things that will make it farz for us to go for hajj. All these are aspects of Islam, and we have to inculcate these aspects of Islam 100% into our lives. It is all flowing from that ayat of the Quran Sharif, that enter into Islam completely. Enter into Islam completely. The third aspect, the third branch of Islam, are our mu'amalat. Our mu'amalat. Our financial transactions, our economic dealings, our business transactions. With regards to this also, there are chapters upon chapters about what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us. What business can we get involved in? Which businesses we cannot get involved in? What type of transactions are permissible? What type of transactions are not permissible? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has told us very, very clearly that interest-bearing transactions bring upon the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not abstain, then we have not entered into Islam completely. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us that you cannot deal in anything that is impermissible, anything that is haram. We cannot sell the meat of a swine. A Muslim is not allowed to sell the meat of a swine. A Muslim is not allowed to sell musical instruments. A Muslim is not allowed to sell anything that promotes immodesty, fahashi. If he does not comply, he has not complied to that verse of the Quran Sharif which says, O believers, enter into Islam completely. Udkhulu fis silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam completely. This is what that verse means. Then the fourth aspect of our Islam, the fourth branch of our Islam, is our mu'asharat, our social dealings. When we deal with our neighbors, when the husband and wife, their relationship, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us, the Quran Sharif has taught us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down the rights of the husband, the rights of the wife, the rights of the parents, the rights of the children. Everything has been laid down. It is crystal clear. If we do not abide, then we are not abiding by that verse of the Quran Sharif in which we were told to enter into Islam completely. And then, with regards to the fifth aspect of our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is with regards to our akhlaq and character. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us many things with regards to our character as well. That we are not supposed to lie when we talk, we are not supposed to cheat, we are not supposed to deceive when we have promised. A Muslim is not supposed to get involved in illicit relationships, it is part of our character. A Muslim is not supposed to be involved in anything that is impermissible, it is part of our character. We should not have hasad, envy and jealousy in our heart, it is part of akhlaq. We should not have animosity for our Muslim brother, it is part of our character. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us how to enter a house. When we enter the house and knock on the door, we say, أَدْخُلُ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, لَا تَقُولُ أَلِجُ. Don't say, can I just come in? Can I just barge in? Say, can I please enter? أَدْخُلُ. قُلْ أَدْخُلُ لَا تَقُولُ أَلِجُ. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us that, how we should enter the house. He has taught us all these aspects of Islam, all these aspects of our life. And if we analyze from the time we are born, beyond the time we pass away, even after we pass away, about how long should we grieve over the deceased? How should we distribute his inheritance? How should we fulfill his bequests? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us everything. So there is no need for a believer then to go towards other religions, towards other beliefs, towards other ideologies. There is no need for a believer to go towards other customs in order for him to learn how to live in the world. It is laid down. Everything is laid down. And only and only and only when we practice on these five aspects of Islam, each one of them 100%, our aqaid are 100%, our ibadat 100%, our economic and financial dealings are 100%. Our social dealings are 100%. Our character is 100%. then we will say that we have entered into Islam completely. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dkhulu fis silmi kaffa. O believers, enter into Islam completely. O believers, enter into Islam completely. This is what it means. Ibadat, iman is not only, and Islam is not only that when we are in the masjid, then we are believers. Every aspect of our life has to be covered by the teachings of the Sharia. When we dress like the believers. When we dress like the believers. Because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. Ya ayyuhal ladhi, ya bani adama, qad anzalna alaykum libasa yuwari sawatikum. When you dress, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down the principles of how we dress. When we cut our hair like how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us to cut our hair. In short, every aspect of our lives has been taught to us by the Sharia. There is no need for us to go to other ideologies in order for us to learn and emulate and inculcate their beliefs and their ways of life. So with regards to these five aspects, I just want to speak about one or two aspects pertaining to our beliefs, our aqaid, the first aspect of deen. If our belief is not correct, then it follows suit that the remainder aspects of our Islam will not be correct. This is the essential, the primary aspect of our Islam and our deen, our beliefs. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in a very famous hadith of Muslim Sharif, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that an Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu anhum, hina qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, la adwa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that there are no such thing as contagious diseases. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, there are no such thing as contagious diseases. A disease does not spread from one person to another person, from one animal to another animal, without the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then if we have to analyze that whole treasure of a hadith, sometimes Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told us, firra min al majdhum, firaraka min al asad, that run away from a person who is a leper, a person who has the disease of leprosy, run away from him, like how you run away from a lion. In another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَإِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِهَا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَا تَدْخُلُوهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that if you hear that there is a ta'un, there is a plague in a certain area, then do not enter that area. On the one hand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَا عَدْوَى, there is no such thing as contagious diseases. And on the other hand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us that run away from the leper like how you run away from a lion. And do not enter into a land where there is a plague. So we have to give credit to our muhaddiseen, our akabir, our elders, who explain these ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We have to put it into context and understand. The doctors, on the other hand, will tell us that don't stay with a person who has chickenpox, otherwise you'll also get chickenpox. And don't get pricked by a needle that has HIV, because it will also pass on to you. So they will tell us all these things as well. So it is established through experience that diseases do pass from one body to the other body. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us that la adwa, there is no such thing as contagious diseases. So we have to understand it in perspective. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sent at a time when the people of Jahiliyyah, the Arabs at that time, used to believe that this disease passes to the next person, from one person to the other person, because there is an effect in the disease. There is no other being that causes that disease to pass from one to the other. And that hadith goes on to say that an Arabi, a Bedouin, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said in that same hadith that, O Nabi of Allah, there is a whole group of animals, a whole group of camels that are perfectly alright. And then a sick camel comes and joins them, and he makes all these camels sick. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, فَمَنْ أَعَدَ الْأَوَّلِ, who made the first camel sick? He is the one who is making all these animals sick. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what it is. That if we believe that a disease is contagious in itself, without the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is the incorrect belief that we have. How often than not doesn't it happen that three brothers stay in the same house, one of them have got chicken pox, but the other two don't get chicken pox? Although we say that it is contagious, it is just as though Allah subhanahu, just like the same incident where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put, and we use medicine for cure, but sometimes we use medicine upon medicine, and there is no cure that we get, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not put the cure into that particular type of medicine for us. Others might be getting cured with it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fa'ile haqiqi, the one who is the real being, the one who is making us sick, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one belief that we have to rectify. One of the beliefs that we have to rectify is la adwa. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, there is no such thing as contagious diseases, this is what he meant. It does not mean now that we must stay with those people who are sick and who the doctors say that they have contagious diseases. It is a disease that is experienced to be contagious. It passes from one person to the other person. So we heard that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said there is no such thing as contagious diseases, and we started staying with them. And we purely believe that we won't get sick. That is not what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meant. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to rectify our aqaid, our beliefs. That do not believe that a disease is contagious in itself. A person is affected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes uses a sick person as a means to transfer that sickness to the other person. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wish, then it will not happen. Nevertheless, this was the first aspect of this hadith. In the other aspect of the hadith, in the next part of the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, wala safar. There is no such thing as safar. The muhaddiseen explain that various meanings for the word safar, but one of the explanations that are given is that there is no such thing as bad luck in the month of safar. Bad luck in the month of safar. We are now in the month of Safar, and Hazrat Maulana ordered me to speak about this, particularly this bad luck in the month of Safar, because of the amount of questions that are coming in, that can we get married in the month of Safar? We want to move our house, can we move it in the month of Safar? We want to open up a new business venture, can we open it in the month of Safar? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said there is no such thing as that. A lot of the beliefs that we have nowadays, although are the beliefs of those same jahiliyyah, the same ignorance that was carrying on in the time of jahiliyyah, that same ignorance has now crept into our lives, and it is continuing. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said there is nothing, wala safar, there is no such thing as bad luck in the month of Safar. There is no such thing as superstitions in Islam, that if we walk under the ladder, that something bad is going to happen. If a black cat crosses our path, then something bad is going to happen. If we stay on the 13th floor of a building, then something is going to happen to us. Some bad luck is going to befall us. There is no such thing as bad luck. It is indeed unfortunate. It is indeed unfortunate that we run after and chase after all these superstitions. Whereas when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us something that will really bring about bad luck in our life, we are unconcerned and ignorant of those aspects. When we commit sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ. You will get bad luck in your lives. I'm just giving you the meaning of the ayat of the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, when you get involved in interest-bearing transactions, then there will be bad luck in your life. And we are hankering after this, that can we do some business transactions in the month of Safar? There is no such thing as that. Bad luck in the month of Safar. Safar, literally what it means is, it means empty. Safar, sifar, zero, nothing, empty. But that does not mean it is bad luck. Why they used to call it the month of Safar was, if we go into the history, was because prior to the month of Safar, in the days of Jahiliyyat, the 3 months, Zilqadah, Zilhijjah and Muharram, these months were from amongst Ashhur-e-Hurum, the sacred months. In the days of Jahiliyyat, they would consider it to be haram and impermissible, prohibited to fight during these months Zulqada, Zulhijjah and Muharram. When the month of Safar would start, everyone would take their provisions and leave their houses. So the houses would become empty. So that's why it is called the month of Safar. Now that does not mean there is going to be some type of bad luck in our life in the month of Safar. If we get engaged in the month of Safar, or if we get married in the month of Safar, then the marriage is not going to work out. There is no such thing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself got his daughter Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha married in the month of Safar to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was the month of Safar, 2 AH, the second year after Hijrah. And not only was that a successful marriage, but the progeny is continuing until this day. The progeny of that marriage is continuing until this day. So if it was something of bad luck, why would Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam condone it and allow it to take place in his very own family? So these are some types of beliefs that we need to rectify. And if we don't rectify them, then we have not fulfilled the dictates of that verse of the Quran Sharif. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fis silmi kaffa. O believers, enter into Islam completely. We have not fulfilled the dictates of that verse of the Quran Sharif. Entering into Islam completely, I said, was that our aqaid, our beliefs are 100%. Our muamalat are 100%. Our ibadat are 100%. Otherwise, there will be a deficiency in our Islam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. May He remove all types of corrupt beliefs from our lives. May He remove the problems, the difficulties, and the calamities that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering throughout the world. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.